From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Hopefully, going to go strong with the final day of podcast this week. A really good group of podcasts across the MPW Digital Network. Yesterday or last night, a soft verbal fell with Corey Evans, Rivals.com basketball recruiting analyst. So you can hear a little bit about what's going on with Kermit Davis, Penny Hardaway, and just the landscape of college basketball recruiting right now. Obviously, we had Andy Kennedy on this week, Jeffrey, some other guys. Chris Malloy joined us. And then Beer Garden, very MLB-centric with Ben Ingram and Brett Taylor. So a lot of stuff across the family of podcasts. Neil and Jay discussed used cars and whatnot, I think, or something on their show. I haven't listened yet, but that was the gist that I got.
We talked about a lot of things, Jay.
A lot of things.
We really...
I think you could just say that every single time. We talked about a lot of things.
It's kind of what we do. We just sort of free flow.
I am glad that more people are catching on, that you can put some lemonade or some orange juice with honeysuckle cathead vodka and make quite the refreshing drink out of it. It appears to be taking off a little bit. So,
in all seriousness, I mean, this isn't even...
This is an ad thing.
We've talked about this for a while. This is not a sales pitch right now. Honeysuckle vodka and lemonade...
It is...
Is just freaking fantastic. Jay hasn't even gotten to the lemonade. He just goes straight to the honeysuckle vodka.
He must be a vodka guy, because see, we're not vodka people.
He is much more of a vodka person than either you or I.
Yeah.
You and I both, if we're gonna drink
I need the syrup
straight,
to help it go down.
Yeah, if we're gonna drink a spirit straight, we're drinking bourbon or whiskey.
Yeah.
Jay's a vodka person.
Yeah.
But I keep telling him, you really need to try the lemonade, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna. And he just never quite he never gets to that
It's good
step.
At any point, but if you're on the golf course or you just mowed the yard, you know, that refreshing, I'm kind of hot, need something to cool down. That is the optimal environment for cathead vodka or honeysuckle vodka and lemonade. So that's my recommendation for the day as you go into a weekend where the temperatures, if we miss out on rain, really good temperatures over the weekend, high 70 or so today. So that's your...
Carson's got a soccer tournament in... I know you've got a birthday party tomorrow. Carson's got a soccer tournament tomorrow. If the rain holds off, it's perfect. It's like upper 60s, very low 70s, which is, if you've got to sit outside for 7 hours and watch soccer, that's perfect.
Yeah,
And if you got to have a birthday party for a bunch of two-year-olds, that's perfect.
Yeah, I'm dealing with a little bit of stress for the birthday party. Nothing major, but just... You know, people in town stuff. I don't know. As we've talked about the podcast all the time, I'm a little anal. I've got kind of a routine, and you get me out of that, I get a little nervous. So I'm going into that today.
I will remind you, young Carly Ann will never remember this.
No.
If anybody out there remembers his or her second birthday party,
you'd like to talk to him on the podcast.
I'd love to talk to you on the podcast, because I'll tell you up front, I don't believe you. And then after that, we'll go from there. So really, a lot of the stress that you all inflict on yourselves is indeed, over this course of this weekend, self-inflicted, because she will not remember this party. Whether it is a smashing success or a complete and total train wreck, she will not have any recollection of it at all.
No, I got the present together a couple days ago. It was one of the big... Power Wheels type vehicle thing. Yeah, so got that done. Charging it right now, and I'm a little worried because it said to charge it for around 12 hours the first time.
Yeah.
Can you overcharge it? Should I be worried that I did not unplug it at 12 hours?
I would not be concerned about that, no.
Okay. You would think in 2018 they probably have a...
I would think that it has a charging capacity, and once it reaches it...
It'll all stop and
it's
chill.
It's just charged.
Okay. So I'm not going to mess it up.
I would think there's probably the equivalent of like an overflow valve.
Okay, it'd be all right.
You just hit it. And
so if I do it in a couple hours, it's probably okay.
I would think so.
I plugged it in at 7:40 last night.
I would think it's perfectly fine.
Okay. I was having that conversation.
If everybody had to be that precise with things like that, no one...
They would never work.
...would buy them.
Yeah, that's fair. So... Podcast brought to you in part, or as always, actually, pretty much fully, by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. And we've been telling you for a couple days now, Grove Bowl coming up on April the 7th. And before the Grove Bowl, why don't you go hang out at the Oxford Exxon? Chad Kelly is going to be there, old former Ole Miss All-American, Denver Broncos quarterback, first signing as a Denver Bronco. Let's go take, get some pictures made with Chad, get a John Hancock or two. And then when you go in, Ben is going to contribute $5 to the Magnolia Speech School for every person that comes through for that event. So great causes all the way around. Great opportunity to talk to Chad a little bit about what's going on with him and then the Grove Bowl on campus at Ole Miss. So that's Highway 6 West in Oxford. And Neil, tell them a little bit about Clark Ford.
I will. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. 662-257-1900. You call that number, you tell Corey Clark what new Ford you are looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Pretty extensive quote. I just got through making my first Clark Ford purchase just yesterday. Corey makes it really easy. You tell him what you're looking for. It's really simple. It's no hassle. It is indeed right to the bottom line. The process could not be any easier. If you are looking for a hassle-free car buying experience, Clark Ford's the way to go. Great delivery options, all of that stuff. He delivered it to my driveway.
Did he?
Yep. So it was awesome. So anyway, Clark Ford in Amory, you should try it as well. 662-257-1900. This did not work for me. It will work for you. When you tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, any of our family of podcasts, we would prefer it if you would mention them all, but just pick one if you'd like, or two, or three, and it's $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
You did not get the $500 off?
Corey informed me that my quote included... hey, I heard about it on the podcast thing.
I'd have to say it anyway, just for the heck of it. Yeah,
I suspect that had I insisted, that $500 would have been added somewhere else. So
there's a lot of math that can be done there in a lot of ways, isn't there?
So, it all worked out.
Yeah. Before we get started this morning, condolences to the Rosewood family in Brookhaven. Miss Rosewood had listened during the podcast for a while. Lived a long, full life. 98 years old, passed away yesterday. So thoughts with that family. You hear about a lot of pretty neat stories throughout doing this from listeners and different people. So one shout out there as we get started this morning. I'm waiting for it, Neil. Have you ever had a pickup before?
Nope.
Never.
It's first.
I can't wait till you start backing into parking spots. I'm so giddy right now. I'm so happy. Yesterday,
I pulled into three different parking spots.
You're going to start backing into them. It's easier to get out in certain circumstances. It's going to become a utility thing. And then, oh my gosh, it's the fun to be had. Can't wait. It's coming.
Okay, we'll see.
I mean, because like for a month, you're going to be that dude that's just hard-headed and doesn't do it just on principle because of all the comments about it over the years. But it's coming. Don't worry. It's there. Last night in College Station, Ole Miss scores three runs in the top of the eight to come back and beat Texas A&M 5-4 in the opening game of that series, game two tonight at 6 o'clock. That's on SEC Network. And then the closing game of the series tomorrow at 2 p.m. to close it up in College Station. Huge win for the Rebels in a number of ways. Number one, just a quality win against a quality opponent on the road. But the way they went about doing it, they were down 4-2 from the third inning to the top of the eighth. They didn't have a hit. Steven Kolek, the Texas A&M ace, was dominant. He was shutting
Ole
Miss down. Did you watch some last night?
I did. He's extremely good.
Yeah, Fortes hit a two-run homer in the third, and at the time, Ole Miss was up 2-1. A&M came back, got to Ryan Rollison, had another mediocre start for Ole Miss, and A&M in complete control after seven innings, up 4-2. It felt like the game was over, frankly. Nolan Hoffman came in for Texas A&M. He had not given up an earned run all year in 18 innings, and Ole Miss strung four straight hits together in the eighth. Top of the order did it. Greg Kessinger returned from the hamstring injury. Kessinger, Olenek, Fortes, and Thomas Dillard, the four hits in a row. And then the story of the game in the bottom of the eighth after an out two singles and a fielder's choice happened. The umpires botched a review. I heard there were some technical difficulties, but they botched a review, so bases loaded, one out for
Texas. Technical difficulty there.
Yeah, for the home team. Yeah. Just, I don't know, that camera, it just wasn't really where it needed to be.
We can't see it.
They really should have like a control center in Birmingham, and you just go and look at
Well, you know, someone on the message board, it's a good question, and they're not going to like the answer, I suspect. It's why can't they have in the SEC what they have in Major League Baseball, where they have a central location? I think in NBA it's in Secaucus, New Jersey. In MLB, I think it's in New York City.
I think so
in Manhattan.
Yeah.
The answer is obviously expense.
Money and time, yeah.
Yeah, and it, to this point.
But with every game on TV, for league games.
I was going to say, I think it will change. I think one of the things that you're seeing is that the sport is still in the growth stage, and it's still gaining importance.
They're the only conference in the country that even has rules to this effect. They're the only ones that are getting to test this, number one. I mean, Mike Bianco said last night, he goes, look, it's not perfect, but that's why they call it experimental. We're all just kind of figuring this thing out as we go. I mean, it kind of sort of is what it is for everybody right now.
All jokes aside,
yeah,
I really doubt that it was home cooking as much as it was a screw-up.
Yeah.
But you can't help but go, well, how convenient. But you don't do it every day. And so when it pops up, now you have this. The fact that it took 10, 11 minutes tells
me. That's ridiculous in general.
But it tells me that there was a problem.
Yeah. They weren't watching this thing with a fine-tooth comb for 10 minutes to figure out what
that. I doubt if they were saying, hey, he's out. How do we do? I don't. My guess is they had legitimate technical
issues.
Couldn't
get the camera angle or the camera period.
Couldn't see something or didn't want to admit, you know, he didn't get the shot.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing that when you play Sam Houston State on Tuesday night.
Mm-mm.
So you don't have the practice. So when people say, well, you know, MLB has it. Well, yeah, there are, 30 Major League Baseball teams, 162 games. There's a lot of practice in that. And even in MLB sometimes, if you watch any Major League Baseball, sometimes the damn review takes 4 minutes, which is insane. So I get it. I understand why fans got worked up. And I do. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying you have to take into effect that they don't have the practice that, you know, in MLB on July the 7th, when there's a mess up in the San Francisco-San Diego game, they kind of have a routine that they can follow. It's pretty easy. You're not there in college baseball yet.
So one out, bases loaded. Parker Kiraisi is in the game. We've talked about Parker a good bit for just the human interest story that he is. Facing as tough of a situation potentially as you could face in the SEC. A&M, look, the environment wasn't good last night because their basketball team was in the Sweet 16, so the crowd was bad.
Yeah.
But
and it's a Thursday night.
Yeah. Bases loaded, one out. Brayden Shumake, who's maybe the best pure hitter in the SEC, he's going to be a first-round pick when he's eligible. And then Logan Foster, who was hitting .483, runners in scoring position coming into last night.
That's pretty good.
And Kiraisi just throws fastballs right by them. He was 93-96. He used a 96 mile an hour fastball to throw it by Shumake, and then he froze Foster to end the inning.
Has some late life on the
fastball.
It's
got late life. Yeah. And, I mean, he's a dude that was 89-90 coming out of high school, just sort of – you know, a right-hander throwing 89-90. I mean, as good as it is, that's a dime a dozen. And dealt with two really tough personal years, and suddenly a deal where Ole Miss might be just getting 1 year out of him before he finds some professional baseball contracts, because not a lot of dudes throw 96 with a hammer.
No, I would think that he has suddenly appeared on the radar.
There was a lot of scouts there to see Ryan Rollison last night. They saw somebody else, too.
Yeah.
That's where you throw the gun up and go, whoa, what's that?
Oh, there's no doubt that there was some scribbling.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're just kind of talking to their buddies because Etheridge was in and they like Etheridge, so okay, and now what? And then,
yeah,
no, 96, 96, 96, okay.
There were reports written last night in hotel rooms in College Station, Texas.
Yeah, here's a dude.
Here's a dude to follow.
Yeah.
We should research this.
So, look, the stuff's there. Just the mentality, though, coming in that spot because, look, pitching against Murray State and Austin Peay in some cozy environments in Oxford, nothing like what he dealt with. So just the mental toughness that he exhibited last night was huge to me. I thought from the team as a whole, you look at Parker and what he did, he pitched the ninth inning too. Credit to Mike Bianco to sticking with him, because I really thought Mike would go to Dallas there in the ninth and try to do 1-1. He left Parker in. Parker got them 3-up, 3-down in the ninth as well, I believe, with 2 strikeouts in that inning also. Out of the 6 outs recorded, 5 were by strikeout. And offensively, they couldn't hit Kolek. They get a different look and just didn't give up. We talked about with Murray State in the midweek games and Ole Miss winning these close games. It's a completely different mindset with this group so far compared to last season when they would have lost last night. The game would have been over. I don't think they had the mental toughness last year to kind of overcome some of the factors that were in play. And last night instead, they win 5-4. They pull it out on a game where they were outplayed for most of the first 7 innings. And they also overcame a Ryan Rollison start where he threw 96 pitches and only 4 innings left after giving up 3 runs with another run on the board that was his, and then just made it work. While Parker Caracci's getting all the congrats, and he should, Will Etheridge, 3 innings, strikes out 6, and gives them a chance. Because if you don't get that middle relief right there, the game's over if they bust out 1 or 2 more runs.
Yeah, for sure. They were a couple hits away from
blowing it open.
Listen, the Cubs start on Thursday. And
okay.
I'm preaching to myself here as I preach to some of you. Some of you are going to not make it through this season hanging on every pitch the way that you are. I get it. But there are a few of you out there, and you know who you are. If your ears are ringing, this applies to you. Hey, it's
a long season. Even in college, it's a long
season. There's still 8-9 more weekends of this.
That's before we get to the postseason, really need some Hail Marys.
You're going to need to dial this back. That game last night was a big win. Had it been a loss, it's not the end of the world. It's going to be okay. And some of you, just not all of you, but a few of you, and you, if your ears are burning, this applies to you.
Yeah, they're 21-2.
You're okay. You're in good shape. You're a good team. But listen, the rest of this league's good too. I'm going to break some really bad news to you right now. You're going to lose some games. You're not going 29-1 in this deal. It's not happening. And this whole Ryan Rollison's awful thing, no, he's not. The other teams are dialed in. They've got scouting reports. He's got to work on some things. He's not as sharp as he wants to be and all of those things. But this whole he's horrible thing, no, he's not. And frankly, had there been a little better outfield defense last night, he'd have gotten out of it a little easier.
Yeah, 2 things. One, look, Ryan's not overly sharp. Mike Bianco said last night was a weird outing. He's called him okay 3 weeks in a row prior to that or whatever it was. It hasn't been sharp. If I'm going to have an issue, though, with my pitcher, lack of fastball command is the one I want. There's no velocity problems. There's no arm issues. Yeah. The slider even is pretty good most of the time, even though last night he kept throwing it in the dirt a little too often. I mean, fastball command is number one if there's a problem that you can fix. And a lot of that is emotional and mental and just settling down. I think he presses. I think he freaks out a little bit when something goes wrong. I think he's dealing with a little bit, which is what, you know, Christian Trent dealt with this after a great mental year his junior year, Friday night. Just dealing with Friday night is a whole different deal than the guy who was a Sunday starter or reliever or something else. There's a pressure there. He's also getting 45 radar guns thrown up in his face on every pitch, everywhere he goes. It's a deal mentally he's probably having to work through a little bit. And then, yeah, look, offensively it's working out, and it is what it is. You got to play these dudes. But they've got to make a few more plays in the outfield. They're making the routine plays, but they're not making really any play that's above routine. And, I mean,
there were a couple of plays.
Again, that's great and on a curve, but we're in the SEC. It is what it is. I mean, it's
because you're
going to
face good hitters in this league.
You're going to have to steal some outs in some places.
Yes, there are going to be some guys that they're swinging metal, and they're good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be simplistic, but it is what it is. You're in this league, when you play the good teams, and A&M is a good team. A&M's making the postseason, everybody.
Yeah.
When you play a team like that, they have hitters who are really good. There's a whole bunch of dudes in Texas that would love to play for Texas A&M, and they're not good enough. The cats that are playing are good enough. And so when you miss with your fastball just a little bit, well, they hit it hard with that piece of metal that they're swinging. And so at some point, you're going to have to steal some outs. if all you do is make the routine plays.
Yeah, Dillard could have made the play against the wall on the ground rule double last night.
And it would have been a really good play.
Yeah.
I'm not being.
It wasn't routine.
It wasn't an error. Yeah, but at some point, you got to help your pitchers out a little bit.
Credit to him. Had some ugly at-bats, misses the fly ball, and then gets the go-ahead single late in the game. Because, I mean, well, I could have gone in the tank right there.
To me, I think that's the story of this team. A year ago, this team loses that game last night. Mm-hmm. No question about it. What, not ugly, but a loss. 5-3 or something like that. They just don't have the fortitude, the toughness to kind of work through it. A year ago, they don't get out of that deal in the eighth. They get hung up on the missed call, the delay, all of that stuff. The other team takes advantage, gets three runs, wins the game. This team appears to be a lot more mentally tough.
Ole Miss has Brady Feigl going today, and they need to get ready for A&M's best shot because A&M, not panic time by any stretch of the imagination, but to avoid the hole, they're 1-3 in the SEC as of this morning. They're going to get a really motivated group of Aggies tonight, pretty locked in. So,
sure.
Big game for Ole Miss.
Sure.
Tonight in College Station, again, 6 o'clock. That was the only Thursday night SEC game, so the other six series all beginning tonight across the Southeast and then wherever you call Missouri as far as part of the country. So, podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. And for a little time longer, you get that pressure washing deal we've been telling you about. If you're a podcast listener, you get $50 off a pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet. Or if you sign an annual contract, they'll pressure wash the driveways and sidewalks for free at 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com.
I'm sitting here watching. I'm on Twitter. I was looking at Rob Friedman, Pitching Ninja.
Yeah.
And he's got this kid named Garrett Wade. And I'm sitting there going, their uniform's kind of red and white. I'm thinking Phillies organization, Reds organization, Cardinals organization. I'm trying to guess, like, you know, who does he play for? Because I'm just watching. He's a left-hander. He's throwing a four-seam fastball to a right-hander, and the damn thing is just breaking away from the right-handed kid. He misses it by 2 feet. And then he's his 2018 high school grad.
Yeah, he's an Auburn signee.
Boy, I tell you what. If that kid makes it to Auburn, I mean, I'm judging this off one pitch, but that's nasty.
Kid from Hartsell or something like that?
Yeah, it must be where he's from. He's got a big H.
Okay, yeah. Sign with Auburn.
That is nasty.
Let me see where he's ranked while you're looking at that. Go ahead.
The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX legacy realty agent. Harry's been in the Oxford area more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies, your rental properties, whatever insurance needs you may have in Mississippi or Tennessee. You owe it to yourself to get at least a quote from Romero Miller State Farm. 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
He is the number 67 overall player in the nation for his class. He's a number 7 left-handed pitcher, and he is the number 2 overall prospect in the state of Alabama.
How big a kid is he?
He is 6'2" and 190 pounds.
That four-seam fastball is mesmerizing. You could not hit that as a right-handed hitter.
He tops out around 91, 92 from the left side. Probably not showing, but...
I would think not.
Being left-handed and all.
I mean, I don't know anything about his situation, but...
Smart kid. 4.27 GPA with a 29 ACT. So, anyway.
Life's thrown him a lot of curveballs.
Gets that arm, man.
That arm, 6'2", 190 pounds.
His high school experience at Hartsell is probably pretty good.
I'm guessing. I'm guessing if he goes to Auburn, things will work out.
I mean, I don't know if he could be Mr. Bearcat had he gone to Ruston, but, probably, you know.
Oh, certainly not. You had to be a catcher to do that.
Yeah, right. That's it. All right, so.
Very average defensive back.
I don't know exactly how many pages it was that came out, but I saw Wes Rucker refer to it as the Tennessee version of the Pentagon Papers last night. The FOIs that were sent by Tennessee media members were all filed and filled by the Tennessee Athletic Department. And,
oh, God, help us.
Some interesting stuff. Number one, okay. Look, this could go for some Ole Miss people in the past. I'm just going to give this advice out for any college administrator or coach listening. Delete your freaking text messages and direct messages. What are you doing? Stop. And I don't care what protocol it is. If somebody comes in and wants your phone, throw the phone in the toilet and then flush it and then beg for forgiveness. Stop.
There's a river nearby, right?
Throw it in it. Tied to a heavy rock, if you could.
I mean, there's a river somewhere. How hard would it be to just go find the river?
The guy that knows that there's... I mean, not really incriminating, but whatever, evidence on the phone, and they go, hey, yeah, here, throw it up in the cloud and see. Oh, my God. Anyway. So, John Curry was not a very popular figure in the University of Tennessee athletic department. Looks even worse today. We'll start with a couple different stories in the Knoxville News. Was it the Sentinel?
Everything coming from Brady Hoax in all caps.
That's
Everything
perfect.
Everything is all caps from Brady Oak.
That's perfect. So we'll start out with this one. The one that was of the most interest. John Curry, as he was trying to hire Greg Schiano as head coach, he reached out to Dan Wolken to get some PR help. His quote was, going to need some help on the PR. Our people are wacko. John Curry to Dan Wolken when discussing the Schiano hire. Wolken responded,
well, he's not wrong.
No. Wolken responded, I'll help. Not sure they'll listen. LOL, meaning laugh out loud. I know he's a very good coach and is about the right stuff was the main part of that.
That's what Dan Wolken said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't cheat at Tennessee had he got the job, I think, was the implication there.
Right. Of course not. Why would anyone have to cheat at Tennessee to get football players? I mean, it's Knoxville. A lot to do in Knoxville. Got Calhoun's right there on the river.
They got ribs out here.
Yeah. Because you can't get ribs anywhere else.
What's the story here to you?
Well, the AD talking about his fan base the way that he is not going to go over well. Hard to argue with him, but it's still. Going to Dan Wolken to try to change a narrative or to paint a narrative is odd.
Well, I think in Dan's own words, he's told multiple Ole Miss media members he doesn't carry anyone's water and referencing all of us as shills.
You know, that's right. Now that you say that, we were shills.
We were shills.
We carried water. I've never carried that much water.
That's a lot of water.
Don't know that I'm strong enough to carry that water.
That's like going down to the well yourself and ratcheting the bucket up.
I mean, that is putting, well, that's one of those deals where you're going down there with like an ox, I guess, and one of the big wood things, like a Little House of the Prairie, and it's got the
You would need oxen.
You would need oxen.
Like an Oregon Trail, you have to buy the oxen.
Yeah, and then you're loading up, and they're carrying multiple with their broad backs.
Yeah, it's kind of turned into dysentery now, hasn't it?
I mean, it's not a good look for someone who claims to be such a purist.
Yeah, and look, these kind of deals happen all over the country all the time. But when you get caught in one after being so judgmental about everyone else that didn't go to anywhere near this length to assist a search and an athletic director.
I don't know about you, but I never volunteered to help Ole Miss out.
No, like I said, we talked about we were misled.
I mean, I never, yeah.
There's a difference in being misled and going, hey, what do you want me to say?
I mean, I'll flat out tell you I got lied to. It's a big difference between that and, hey, what can I say? How can I help you here, Mr. Curry? Because I like Greg Schiano.
How's an AD not more careful than to, in anything that can be distributed and collected, calling your fan base names while you still have a position?
Wasn't thinking about it. Clearly shows the stress, the frustration. I mean, that was a coaching search that, I mean, ended in Jeremy Pruitt. So it probably ended okay. But that was Mike Leach involved in that. Dave Doran said no.
Well, the other main story that Knoxville did here, and again, they've all got this information. They're all kind of picking and choosing where to start and start throwing content out. And the Knoxville News Sentinel started with that one, and then another one here where it details the last few hours of the Curry tenure as athletic director. And this is interesting, so I'm going to read a good bit of this. I just find it kind of fascinating more than anything else. Is Tennessee administrators lost contact with Curry for several hours on the day before he was ousted from his position. Curry resurfaced later that day with an email to Chancellor Beverly Davenport, President Joe DiPietro, and General Counsel Matthew Scroggins. Curry wrote that he had flown from North Carolina, where he was in pursuit of North Carolina State Coach Dave Doran, to California to meet with Washington State Coach Mike Leach. Quote, although I have not offered the job or discussed terms with him, he told me he would take the job if offered, Curry wrote in an email. Davenport responded that she wanted Curry to return to Knoxville and scheduled a meeting with him for the following morning. Quote from Davenport to Curry in a text message, I trust that you're on your way back to Knoxville as I requested in my text message this afternoon. This morning, we tried for 6 hours to contact you about the state of the search. After finally connecting, you informed me you were in California heading into a meeting with Leach. That was the first I'd heard of this meeting because of the confusion from earlier in the day. And the other candidate, Doran, asked you to not pursue any discussions about employment with any additional candidates. Then a vice chairman of the trustees asked about Curry's status just as a person. Like, have we confirmed that he's safe? He starts asking in text messages there. Also that day, the executive associate AD inquired about Curry's status. Lots of people worried about your whereabouts. Curry simply texts back and said, I'm fine. I'm still alive. The next morning, Davenport removed Curry from his position as athletic director.
He was losing it.
What did he do in those 6 hours? Was he panicking to go find a coach to get back to Knoxville with?
Yes.
Under the sly? Is that
probably
what we're doing? I'm going to go dark, and I'm going to bring Mike Leach in and introduce him.
So because he hired Schiano, then he had to back off Schiano. I'm trying to remember who all they went through. Who else turned them down?
Mike Gundy.
Oh, that's right. They did the Gundy thing, and he publicly turned them down and turned it into more money at Oklahoma State, which was a power move. Dave Doran turned them down. I'm skipping somebody. Did they go after Cutcliffe again, and he said no? That rings a bell in my mind.
Yeah,
maybe that was another time.
And then he went after Pruitt, actually, and then they didn't get him to later after he was gone again. You know, he basically went through two search processes with Pruitt.
Oh, that's right. And then they went and did the Mike Leach thing.
Yeah.
Because there were reports that night that Leach was going to be the coach.
Because I think Hugh Freeze's name came up with Pruitt when Curry was pursuing Pruitt the first time.
Yeah, and the other thing that was happening behind the scenes was that Phil Fulmer was doing the power coup.
Yeah.
So you have...
Beverly Davenport had her plate full that week.
Yeah. She at some point was probably screaming, is this really all worth it?
Curry and the university on Thursday reached a settlement that awarded him $2.5 million.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, not a bad day.
Much less than the buyout he was owed. But
that'll buy a lot of therapy.
The settlement includes $2.22 million on top of the salary he received while on paid suspension since December 1st as well. So, anyway. Oh, boy. Covered Tennessee might be...
Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't jinx this.
Don't say a word.
Don't just simply say, there, by the grace of God, go I.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
Prayers to Tennessee and Missouri media people most of the time.
It's much, much better.
Okay.
Don't act like it can't happen to you.
It can happen anywhere.
You could, this could, you, we're how far removed from Massagegate?
Not that far.
Okay, yeah, let's just. Let's not cast stones. Let's just stay calm.
You haven't looked up specific institutions in Houston for work purposes before, prior to that night?
No. Oh,
I never expected like a literal menu when I went to that website that 40 found that day. I mean, all the options were just kind of laid out there in very detailed sentences. I had no idea that's how that operated.
That would be a pretty good podcast, just to read down the menu, what is available. Did they give prices with that menu? Like, what does different things cost?
I saw some minimums, I think, on that. It's probably a...
Everything starts with, it's a base package.
I think there's a base package. It's like a car, like we were mentioning.
Yeah,
you start doing the add-ons.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want traction control? Do you want different things? I mean, that's...
Do you want... How good of an entertainment package do you want?
Yeah, right. Do you need the technology package?
Heated seats.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And now you got, cool seats now, too. The vents.
I know,
and
it's cool.
Yeah. Just saying.
Rear heated seats. Do you need those? And everything comes with a price.
Good day for Awoken picking basketball games yesterday, too. Did you see his tweet?
No.
He took, to cover the points, he took Nevada.
That didn't work out.
He took Texas A&M to win straight up.
That did not work out.
He took Kentucky to cover.
And they did not cover.
And he took Gonzaga to cover.
Well, they failed to cover as well.
It was 0 for 4.
Do you realize that a week from Monday, college basketball... Assuming
it's going to play a title game.
They will have their national championship game. And one of the teams will either be Michigan, Florida State, Loyola of Chicago, or Kansas State. That is locked in stone. One of those four teams will play for the national championship. Two of those four teams are going to the Final Four.
All right. Couple thoughts here. And maybe they're hot takes because I'm not a huge basketball guy, but I'm going to throw them out there anyway. Number one, credit, and this isn't really part of it. Number one, credit to Dan Wetzel. He said that Illinois fans, God bless the recruiting writer that keeps going after Missouri, they get to watch the coach they fired against an in-state mid-major for a spot in the Final Four this weekend. Bruce Weber and then Loyola.
Bruce Weber took Illinois to the national title game.
Yeah.
Careful with your expectations. That there's a certain lesson there. Winning big is really hard. Be careful when you run off the guy who has won really big.
Last night, barring some run in the future that I don't anticipate for whatever reason, last night was harmful to John Calipari's legacy.
Agreed.
He's only I know, but considering the profile, he's won one title. He's had multiple head-scratching losses, including last night, where everything is set up for a gift wrap to the Final Four, because to all credit to Kansas State and Bruce Weber, Kentucky was the better team.
Literally, when they take the floor last night, they are Kansas State and Loyola of Chicago from the Final Four.
Kansas State's best player doesn't play the majority of the game.
Hardly played at all. Did he play?
I don't know. If he didn't,
I don't think he played.
They had a kid miss more than double-digit free throws last night, the Washington kid, who had a hell of a game otherwise, but still. It didn't work this year to the extent that it has to work to keep doing it. It's worked twice. I'll give them the loss to Wisconsin where they had the perfect season going and they won the title. But, you know, they lost that game to West Virginia and Huggins that year a few years ago.
Got out-coached.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Last night is going to be not a footnote, but a main paragraph in his legacy because everything was there to just take advantage. Where if they just make the Final Four and then lose to Michigan or whomever it is, whatever, that's fine.
That sport's about making the Final Four.
Yes.
Final Four is, from that point, it's just crapshoot.
It's Omaha. You make Omaha and then somebody wins the national title.
Literally in college baseball, making Omaha is every bit as big of a deal as winning the national championship.
Yeah, 8 programs are going to be celebrated at the end.
Shoot me if you think I'm wrong. I'm just telling you, it really is. You get to Omaha. Omaha's kind of a celebration. Yeah, you want to win, and whoever wins gets a big trophy and all that stuff. But it's about making Omaha.
It's the equivalent of when high schools in Mississippi used to do the Grand Slam, and you'd win your state title, and then you played all the other state champions for the Grand Slam.
No one remembers. Whatever. Yeah, just playing in the Grand Slam was what mattered.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
No, there is a function to what Kentucky basketball is trying to do in the one-and-done era that is not working to the relative nature that Kentucky needs it to work for it to be successful.
Because now they're starting to run into teams that have juniors
and
seniors, and they can't handle them.
Look, the years that Cal has done it is frankly a miracle because getting all those kids who've never had to play team basketball to play team basketball, I can't explain how difficult that would be. But
well, it's one thing when you have Anthony Davis out there.
Yeah. John Wall.
Yeah, I mean those.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, I mean if you're not watching NBA, you don't really understand how elite Anthony Davis is. How skilled of a big man Anthony Davis is.
Yeah, when on the floor you've got Cousins and Kidd Gilchrist and those dudes, fine.
Elite NBA
roll the ball out there.
Of course.
But otherwise, when it's just kind of the same talent level as some, at least Duke and some other programs, you're getting out-coached, you don't have any upper-class help in any stretch. And it's just going to happen again. I mean, Knox is going to go pro. They're going to rotate. It's going to be the same deal.
Got out coached last night. Weber had 5 days. And they were, give Kansas State credit, they were really, really prepared.
They were.
And then you know who doesn't get credit for being a really good coach? We'd skip over him. John Beilein at Michigan. He won big at West Virginia, and now he's winning big at Michigan. They demolished A&M. SEC, no team in the Elite Eight.
It's funny. League sucked. They had 3 in the Elite Eight or whatever it was last year.
Gabe DeArmond made a great point on Twitter today. You do have to be very careful over analyzing 2 weeks of basketball in a season that
goes, one and done scenario.
Yeah, in a season that's 4.5 months. You do have to be careful with that. It does back those of us up who all year said there's no great team. The league's full of good teams. There's no great team.
Yeah, the bottom came up is why the league became good.
The top of the league was not particularly good. People talked about Kentucky, and they talked about Florida.
It was a down Kentucky year.
Yeah,
it was a down
Florida year. Florida was not a very good team. A&M was a talented team that never completely put it together.
They're still without 2 dudes.
Yeah. Arkansas was never.
Arkansas and Tennessee just played really hard and were very well coached.
Tennessee was extremely well coached. Arkansas was very good at home.
I'm sorry, I'm at Auburn, not Arkansas. Yeah.
And Auburn was very well coached and played above their heads all season.
Yeah. And then when it failed, woo.
Well, when they lost, like Andy said the other day on the show, when
Macklemore or whatever.
When they lost, Macklemore the big, they just didn't have enough bodies.
Yeah, different team. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You get local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a leader in condo financing. Ask about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that is the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one today. You'll be very thrilled with the customer service you'll get, the car buying experience. I've done it several times. You'll be very pleased. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The Grove Bowl, April the 7th at Vaught Hemingway. There's baseball next weekend at home. Are they on the road again next
week? They're at home against Arkansas Thursday to Saturday next week because of Easter.
There you go. Easter's next weekend too. Man, the spring flies by. It's really weird.
Well, Easter's very early, April 1st.
Still, it's April.
Yeah.
It feels like January. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Whew. I'm just curious. Give me a 2-minute rundown on why Jay had to go to Indiana to get a Camry.
Maddie, his daughter, wrecked the other Camry.
Okay.
He wanted a Camry hybrid fuel thing. She wrecked it. It was the car he was in love with.
Okay.
He wanted not just another Camry. He wanted that Camry. And so he went searching for a Camry exactly like that. And
same color, everything.
Everything. And it led him to Taylorsville, Indiana.
He drove to Taylorsville.
He was in St. Louis for the SEC tournament.
Oh, okay.
And when the Tigers were eliminated on Friday,
he drove to Indiana. He
drove to Indiana. And
got a Camry.
Got the deal. Got it done. Traded in his vehicle.
Really?
Yep.
And drove the Camry back to Auburn.
And drove the Camry back to Auburn and has been more than happy since. Been very pleased. He was on a mission. Mission accomplished. And if you know Jay,
you would not have gone to that effort.
No, of course not. But I know Jay, and that didn't surprise me at all. That's Jay.
He knows what he wants, and it's.
He knew exactly what he wanted. He researched it, found one, made a few phone calls. He was in St. Louis, and he just drove over to Indianapolis from St. Louis and got it done.
Okay. Is that where Taylorsville is, around Indianapolis?
Apparently just south of Indianapolis.
Okay.
Taylorsville, Indiana. They probably don't deal with a lot of customers walking onto the lot from Montgomery, Alabama, but it happened.
Kind of like Clark Ford, they'll take them wherever they are.
Of course. But I suspect when he left, someone said, "That was an interesting fellow." Jake couldn't be nicer. I'm sure it was very pleasant. He said he was there on the lot about 4 hours total.
4 hours?
4 hours. You know, it takes a little while to get everything done.
That's still a long time.
He had a price in mind. And once they got to that price, he did it. He had to sell it. They had to buy his car.
So they do that first.
It does take a little time.
Okay.
It's a great thing about for me, dealing with Corey, I think we had one phone conversation. Everything else, we did the whole transaction via text.
Well, that's probably not a service that most people are going to be.
All I know is I was freaking pleased with it.
Now you're telling everybody they can just text Corey and get the deal done without even having to talk to him.
I bet Corey would do deals by text if that's what got deals done.
Well, yeah, anybody, whatever.
Corey's pragmatic if he's nothing else.
Can the deal get done? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Of course.
Let's see. What else is going on?
Spring football yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
There's a notebook up. They got three players yesterday. There's a scrimmage on Saturday. I don't know if that's open to the public or not. I'm sorry. I'll attempt to find out today and post it on the message board. Scrimmage is at 11. I don't know. It's bad, isn't it? I'm sorry. I'll have to ask. I just don't know.
You know, the worst part of this, Clay Travis on the Dan Wilkin train this morning, hard.
Oh, what's he saying?
Well, he just linked this. The worst part of the Wilkin deal is not necessarily that he even agreed to do it. It's that he did it. He writes a story on November 26th with the headline, "Meltdown over potential hiring of Shiano is a bad look for Tennessee program." So writes a column criticizing Vols fans on November 26th.
Wilkin did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that column.
While Tennessee officials, quoting from the column, were trying to get a deal done with Shiano on Sunday, a deal that ultimately came undone, students in Knoxville were mobilizing to protest, congressional candidates and other politicians were issuing anti-Shiano statements, and radio provocateur Tennessee fan Clay Travis, who has written extensively about the dangers succumbing to online mobs, has organized one himself and posted Curry's cell phone number on Twitter. The reported reason behind Tennessee's fans' anger has to do with his time as a 25-year-old assistant, blah, 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 on and on and on. And
it was a pretty significant thing.
It was.
The allegation against Shiano is that he knew what was going on at Penn State with Jerry Sandusky and did nothing. It's a serious allegation.
Wilkin follows up. So, in other words, a nonspecific claim based on third-hand hearsay that was never followed up or investigated by prosecutors in the case is literally Shiano's only connection to the Sandusky case, and it allegedly happened when he was a low-level staffer just starting out. But by the time Vol Twitter got a hold of it,
it happened when he was a 25-year-old adult. It happened when he was a 25-year-old adult. This is the part of this that is infuriating. No, Dan, it happened at a 25-year-old adult. If a 25-year-old suspects that another man is sexually molesting little boys anywhere, including in your workplace, that 25-year-old man has an obligation morally, Dan, to do something about it. And if that 25-year-old man doesn't do anything about it, it should hang over him for the rest of his life. Little boys were sexually molested. Don't make it about what his station was in the stupid Penn State football program. Little boys were sexually assaulted, raped is the word I think that we should use. Little boys were raped in a shower by a grown man.
But the idea that experienced winners such as Mullen or Shiano would be considered bad hires in a league that was giving jobs to plenty of people who weren't ready or equipped for the SEC only proves why athletics directors these days shudder at the idea of a coaching search, even when you deliver the fans a high-powered thoroughbred they want to use.
Oh, my God. And Dan Mullen didn't do anything but play Tennessee. They used Tennessee as leverage to get Florida to go ahead and make the deal. Whatever you think of Dan Mullen, whatever you like Dan Mullen, don't like Dan Mullen, whatever, that was just solid business. Do you agree with that, Chase? Dan Mullen wanted the Florida job.
Yeah.
He used Tennessee as leverage. To my knowledge, Dan Mullen should not be compared in this sentence to Greg Schiano, because I don't know that anyone has ever accused Dan Mullen of turning a blind eye to rapes in the shower at the football building where he works.
Yeah, Clay starts it out 2 hours ago, says, "Hey, Dan Wilkin, how many other grown men are you texting emoticons to and offering to do their PR when they make a shit hire? Pathetic loser." Let's see. Then some fans are jumping on him. Let's see. Da-da-da. Clay with plenty of radio today. As much as many of you probably don't like him, I do laugh at his subject matter. 23 minutes ago, he says, "Get your popcorn, AM Outkick. Get your popcorn, AM Outkick. Murders Coach Cal, Dan Wilkin, a porn star, and Michelle Beadle. Memphis Coach Penny Hardaway and Gottlieb Show guest star. Trust me, you'll love today's show. Listen and subscribe." And then 4 minutes ago, "Hey, Dan Wilkin, what does USA Today Sports think about you agreeing to do PR for Curry's hire of Greg Schiano and then writing this, quote, unbiased column praising Curry and ripping me and Vols fans? Pretty pathetic, bud. Paper should be ashamed." And he links the story.
Yeah, he makes a point.
So
I don't typically listen to Travis. It's going to make the rotation today.
You think so?
Yep.
He cracks me up. I
think when Gus and Rizzo get their walk today, I'm going to be listening to Clay Travis.
I get because why people don't like him. I get
I get why people don't like Travis, but you have to understand, and Dan, if you're listening, and you probably are, when you take shots the way you take shots, when you and 40 and others do the "you're above it all" thing, and you call us fan sites and you do all that stuff, when you volunteer to carry the water for a program because they're making a hire that you approve of, you're no different just because your media affiliation says USA Today, which, by the way, is owned by Gannett, which is absolutely freaking going under, Dan, just so you know. You don't get to do that. You don't get to take that shot. And then you do this and expect everybody to go, "Oh, well, that was different." I could call you a Tennessee homer. Maybe you were trying to turn the USA Today into a Tennessee fan site. Doesn't work like that. I've been on this job for 10 years. I've never said to anybody, "Hey, let me figure out, hey, what can I help you here with PR?" No, Hugh Freeze lied to me that day, and it pissed me off. And I said as much. And when people said, "Well, you know, there's going to be a lawsuit," what did I say, Chase? I said, "Well, it's a pretty good lawsuit. If the lawsuit is that Hugh Freeze tried to throw Houston Nutt under the bus on that first weekend, I got news for you. He did. That's why they settled. For whatever they settled for. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not a Houston Nutt guy either. But when people said, "Well, they're going to settle," they should, because had they deposed me and said, "What did Hugh Freeze tell you that day?" I was going to tell them. And it was exactly what Houston Nutt alleged that Hugh Freeze said. So that's not carrying the water. But I'm just a fan site guy. You know me. I don't know journalism the way you have to know it to work at USA Today, apparently. But son of a gun, Dan. It kind of looks like you're toting water for University of Tennessee there, you and John Curry.
Anybody that needs an antidepressant, maybe some anti-anxiety medicine or the like, Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, located in Holly Springs. They will deliver it wherever you are. You fill out the form there online, give them your doctor's name, the prescription ready, and give you great service. Also now, they also operate G&M Pharmacy in Oxford, where they deliver local and give you great service on South Lamar in Oxford.
I use emoticons sometimes. I can't make fun of that. I play around.
I have a hard time.
I don't typically do it with other men.
I have a hard time conveying sarcasm in text. And I don't know how necessarily is the best way to do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So
because
I use
tone
emoticons.
Of text indicates things. I mean, I'm more likely to use GIFs.
Yeah,
to convey that
use those.
I use a lot of GIFs, but
I'm not going to judge the use of emoticons. I'm not. Now, that's a big hang-up with some men. They're like, you can't use those unless you're talking to, like, your wife or your daughters or something. But I live in a house with a 17-year-old girl and a 15-year-old girl, and emoticons are just part of our lives.
What's the most used emoticon that you have?
Oh, laughing. The tears laughing. Yesterday, as since their dad, who never really struck them as a truck guy, had a truck. I got the cowboy hat, smiley face.
When you open your phone on frequently used on the emoticons, what's the first one?
Let's see. Let's look.
I've got the fist bump thing is my number one. Typically, it's just an answer that I'll give to people if they ask me something and I understood it and I'm ending the conversation.
I've got the wide-eyed, like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Okay. The two eyeballs?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The smiley face.
Okay.
The rolling eyes.
Yeah, got that one.
The single tear.
Okay.
The laughing.
Okay.
Now the cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's a new one. What are you using that one for?
Because I was getting made fun of all day yesterday about
the truck. The truck. Okay, gotcha.
A glass of bourbon and the wink face.
Okay. We got to get you a CB. What would your call sign or your handle be?
I don't know. I was asked that yesterday, too.
You should. They get you a CB. You need to price those. They still make those. A 40-channel CB radio of Home Depot is only $27.83. I'm going to get this bad boy done today. Get an antenna with a tennis ball on it so it doesn't bang against the... Yeah. This is happening.
Someone has suggested that I get a lift kit.
Really?
Yeah. With the fat chicks can't jump by sticker. I've been sent that.
Yeah, I mean, what sticker are we getting for what's Calvin gonna pee on? What are we getting?
I was sent that as a suggestion. Calvin, yeah. Peeing on the Chevy.
Oh, okay.
This is the one. Can't talk about it. This is Corey sent me that as a suggestion.
Oh, that's good. The one that I never understand is the ones that on there that use the hitch cover with the testicles. I wonder, at what point is that the sign you want to present to the world? How is that the one? Like, the other stuff, I kind of get in its own bubble.
In its own bubble. But how do you think that's going to work out for you?
Yeah.
How's that going to help you in any
shape? Let's just put a big sack right there on the trailer hitch.
Yeah, where is hand raised guy when that's happening? Going, hey, that's not a good idea.
Oh.
I tell you what is a good idea.
All right.
Billy's Pecans. Mm-hmm. Billy's Pecans, they know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it with expertise and excellence. And with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point, you simply can't choose wrong. Been several questions on the message board in the last 24 hours about Billy's Pecans. Yes, the cinnamon and pecan coffee cake is excellent. I've heard the blueberry coffee cake is excellent. To prove to you that I'm not just a blind shill, I haven't had it. I don't know. Everything else there is really good. The chocolate-covered pecans are phenomenal. The cheese straws, amazing. Just the salted pecans, which is kind of my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just the salted, basic menu item. Really, really good. The cinnamon and sugar pecans, really kind of addictive. It's great. Billy'sPecans.com. You should use them. Just make an order. You don't have to do it for you can do it for your corporate customers if you want. Do it for yourself. 1-800-624-7404 is the number. And we've been telling you about this for a while. The Moonlight Grahams will be playing Saturday, April the 28th at World Music Nashville in the Bellevue area at 7. The Moonlight Grahams are a folk Americana band started by Ole Miss grad John McCann. Tickets are $10. That includes a digital copy of the new album. The digital download cards will be given to you when you arrive. You can buy those tickets off Facebook or on TicketZone.com. Get your tickets before they sell out. You'll absolutely love it. Their new album, The Moonlight Grahams, is out on Spotify and iTunes. So make sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Spread the word. The show, April 28th, Saturday, April the 28th, World Music Nashville, 7 p.m. You don't want to miss The Moonlight Grahams.
I'll have a little game here. If you're a RebelGrove.com subscriber, I'll give you a couple free months. Send me the best bumper sticker that Neil should put on the back of his new pickup. We'll be the judge. And if you are not, I'll send you some MPW digital items for your prize. So let's send them on Twitter. Let's send them at me at Rivals Chase on Twitter. We'll judge this. The best bumper stickers to put on the new rig that Neil has out in the driveway. And you'll win a little bit one way or the other, whether you're a subscriber or not. Appreciate you listening, and we'll see what kind of fun can be had here. Again, Ole Miss A&M, 6 o'clock tonight from College Station, Bluebell Park. I'm assuming they probably serve Bluebell inside. It'd be kind of weird if they didn't, like, you know, I know we're going to do Ben and Jerry's. But
tonight's basketball games, Clemson and Kansas.
Okay.
I'm now to the point where I'm not ruling anything out.
No.
West Virginia and Villanova could be a good game.
Yeah.
I know those of you, most of you will be watching Ole Miss, but if you're watching Ole Miss on your computer tonight, that would be a really good game to put on your TV. Even if you, quote, don't like basketball, that's got a chance to be a really good basketball game.
Yeah.
And
then Purdue, Texas Tech.
Syracuse and Duke late tonight. I hope it's a good game. I've got my doubts. And then Texas Tech, Purdue tonight in Boston.
Could be a great game.
Really should be a great game, and Ole Miss should be either done or really close to done.
Purdue's graduate assistants were trying to put a brace together that the NCAA would approve for that kid. I think they're supposed to find out today whether that was a truth or not. So we'll see.
The Saturday games, by the way, in case you're wondering for times, because I was, Loyola and Kansas State, I think these are Eastern times, yeah. They'll tip off at 5:09 Central Time from Atlanta Saturday. And then at 7:49 Central Time, Florida State and Michigan play in Los Angeles for the right to go to the Final Four.
All right. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks to all of our guests this week. We'll talk to you then.